In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our theme for spiritual formation for Lent at St. Catherine's is crafting a rule of life. And this morning I'm going to talk a little bit about that. We're also doing this in depth on Thursday evenings at our Lenten program. Everyone has daily routines and rituals, whether you're conscious of it or not. Everyone has habits and ways of doing things that they repeat day after day. And often you'll notice other people's rituals and routines more than you think about your own. If you travel with people, they have different things they do every day. Or if you visit people in their home, and their rituals are different, their routine is different, you'll notice that. And as I said, most of these routines and rituals are pure habit. They just become a part of us, and we don't often reflect about them. They're just part of our normal daily life. Now, those of you who have been on a retreat or a pilgrimage with me, I'm looking at Glenn, you'll know that it's best to wait to try to have a conversation with me until quite a while after I've had a very strong cup of coffee in the morning. Quiet and caffeine, preferably good strong coffee, are an important part of my early morning. And that's part of my rule of life. Now, some routines and rituals that we follow promote a healthy life. Some promote a healthy spiritual life. And some are maybe less likely to make for a healthy life. Sir Winston Churchill was known to have said, "My rule of life prescribed as an absolutely sacred rite, smoking cigars." And also, the drinking of alcohol before, after, and if need be, during all meals and in the intervals between them. That quote actually comes out of the book that we're using, the Michelle's book. I think. Actually, I got that from Bob Gallagher, but he was known to have said that. So since we all have what could be called a rule of life, whether it's intentionally planned or by default of our habits, or both, doesn't it make sense from time to time to look at what we are actually doing with our lives, how we are actually spending our time and energy? And doesn't it make sense during this season of Lent, when we are called to a time of self-examination, to ask ourselves whether our rule of life is serving to deepen our relationship with God? I think it's important to define rule of life as it is understood in the spiritual tradition, the ascetical theology. It's not a list of rules like you'd put up on your refrigerator. There's a distinction. So Martin Thornton, an English pastoral theologian, talks about it this way. He says, "Rule, as in a rule of life, is the literal translation of the Latin word regula, which means rule, pattern, model, example, from which we derive the word regular. A rule of life in the Christian tradition does not mean a list of rules. In some sense, it is exactly opposite of that. A Christian following a rule of life," and he calls that one a regular, "is one who chooses to undertake her common obligations and duties and to develop her personal spirituality, or his, by acknowledging, accepting, or embracing, I like that word, embracing some total scheme, system, pattern, or rule of prayer. So we're talking about a system, not a list of things, but a system. In our Lenten series, we are using a map to help us look at that system as one way of looking at it. A map that has traditional Anglican spiritual practices. The Society of St. John the Evangelist has a lot of resources for us. Some of you know about them and see them online. One of the brothers wrote this about the purpose of a rule of life. The purpose of the rule of life is to strengthen our abiding in Christ. To strengthen our abiding in Christ by bringing rhythm, discipline, and order to our discipleship. The rule helps us offer the whole of ourselves to God each day and keeps us open to God's love and will for us. This year, the Brothers of SSJE have a whole thing online about growing a rule of life with all these metaphors from gardening. So those of you who like gardening might really resonate with that. And one of the metaphors they use for a rule of life is it's like a trellis. You know, a trellis you set in your yard and you plant plants at the bottom, vines or whatever it is. And that gives support and stability to their growth. So we can think of a rule of life as a trellis for our growth. So they go on to say, rather than living randomly and just allowing ourselves to respond to things that happen to us in life, a rule of life gives us a chance to step back and to think about what it is that we value and how we intend to live. What are the values we want to express in our daily living? Another one of the brothers answered this question, why have a rule of life at all? Why go to all the trouble? With a quote from a Mary Oliver poem called The Summer Day. At the end of this poem, she asks this question. Tell me what it is you plan to do with your one wild and precious life. So a rule of life is a plan for what you do with that precious gift from God, life itself. Now, a rule of life needs to be flexible. We grow and change, our lives grow and change, our circumstances change. And because of that, at least every couple of years, we need to look again at our rule of life and see if it is still serving us. I have an example from our family life that shows a little bit about how it can grow and develop and change over time. When our children were very, very little, our family rule of life included saying a simple prayer before every meal together that was simple enough for all of us to say, and then also before the boys went to sleep each night. And that night prayer changed as they got older. It started out because we're a singing family. We all love to sing. We sang the Lord's Prayer together every night. It was the same one that St. Bartholomew's, which was our parish, was using in the liturgy. They were singing, chanting the Lord's Prayer. And so we did that together as a family every night. As they got older, we added a little tizay Gloria, another that was around, that made it a little more fun, a little more challenging for them because we were singing in a round. And we had to change it during Lent, of course, because it had Alleluias in it. But then, when Franklin was in about second or third grade, he came home and he said he wanted to offer something for us to change what we were doing together. And he suggested, this came from his teacher, who was an extraordinary, I think it was third grade teacher, who did this with her class every morning. He suggested that each of us, every night, share one thing that we were grateful for as a part of our evening prayer. So we did that. Now, you know, sometimes you've had a day when it's a little hard to come up with something, you know? Have you had a day like that ever? So it was good. It was a challenge. We had to think every night something we're grateful for, and we shared that. We did that for years. We did that together for years and ended with the sung Lord's Prayer. So that evening ritual became a part of us, an important part of our family life. We did it everywhere we were. Even if we were on vacation, we would invite people we were with to do it with us if they wanted to. And it was so much a part of us. It was a part of our life that if we were unable to do it together, something felt really wrong. We missed it. That is what can happen with a rule of life. It becomes part of you. It should fit you enough in the beginning that it's not too difficult to begin it or continue it. And it should also have room for the soul to grow into it so that it becomes a part of you, becomes a part of us. I had a thought about the image of the trellis and a suggestion that for Lent, just pick one thing. You think a rule of life might seem really overwhelming. Pick one thing, one practice. And you can think of it as a stake in the ground. Okay, it's not a whole trellis, but it's a stake. You're staking something. And that's your stake. And you can do that for Lent and see how it grows and see how it goes and reflect on it after Lent and see if that's something you want. And then you can build a trellis out of that stake. A good personal rule of life, this is from Michelle's book, should demand creative discipline without burden. We're not trying to make it so difficult. Sometimes people think they start out Lent with trying to do everything. Oh, I'll do morning prayer, noonday prayer, evening prayer, compline every day, and I've never done it before, but I'm going to do that. Well, that is not likely to happen, and you're likely to get very discouraged and feel bad, and you have to start small. So it needs to be creative discipline without burden. It should neither be too difficult nor too easy. It has to be a balance. So I invite you this Lent to put your stake in the ground, to pick your one thing to change, to add, to do differently if you haven't already. It could be some form of daily prayer, which is part of our tradition, some part of the daily office. It could be adding a prayer at night before you go to sleep. It could be, you could try any one thing that you do regularly and see what happens and reflect on that. And as we as individuals deepen our own prayer life and deepen our spiritual life, when we come together for the Eucharist, you can feel the difference. You can feel the difference when we come to the Eucharist with the intention of offering our lives to God and receiving the nourishment that God has for us in the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen.